second lesson, Paul is writing about how through one man came sin, and through another came the salvation, right? And the one man who brought sin to humanity that Paul's talking about is who? Adam, right? Which is what we hear in that first reading, right? That story from Genesis talks about what we refer to as original sin. Now, I could go into this long discussion about how we get original sin and all this other stuff, but I'm going to skip that for now. But rather talk about this idea of what is this sin that Adam and Eve is part of this, right? What is it what is this sin that they commit? Eating the fruit, okay? All right? By the way, notice it doesn't say it's an apple. Just for the sake of, It's fruit. But what kind of fruit is it? Wisdom? More than wisdom. It's what? Okay, it is the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? Okay? And so the serpent, the tempter, shows up and says to Eve, right, God gave you this beautiful garden, and you can eat of anything here in the garden, right? Right, Eve? And he says, no. God gave us this one rule. God said we could eat of any tree in the garden, but the tree in the middle of the garden, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We can't eat that. And what does the serpent say? The serpent says, sure you can. Why? Okay. He doesn't want you to eat of this fruit because you'll have this knowledge of good and evil. Right? And Jerry, you said, you'll be like God. Right? So here's the temptation, right? One of the commentaries I read, and this passage, right, this story that we have in the gospel of Jesus' temptation, we get it every year on the first Sunday of Lent, right? It's either from Matthew, Mark, or Luke, but we get it every year. And every year this commentary that I read makes the point that we are tempted not by things that are evil. What tempts us are those things that we think are good. Right? I think I did this last year, the year before. I struggled with this all week. I'm trying to think, what have I not said about this passage, you know, over the years, right? Was it last year I talked about donuts? Right? I am tempted by donuts. Not that donuts are evil, right? In fact, in my mind, donuts are really good. Right? So the temptation isn't to, you know, the tempter doesn't come and say, I want you to do bad things. The tempter says, here's something that should be good for you. And what the tempter says is that if you eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will be like God. Well, what's wrong with being like God? That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Doesn't it? All right. And so Eve grabs the fruit and you know, shares it with Adam, right? I won't go into the part where it's all Eve's fault. All right. So the temptation is to be like God. And the tempter says that's a good thing. But what's wrong with being like God? What's wrong with being like God? What does it mean to be like God? All right? In part, right, you have this knowledge of good and evil. All right. What else does it mean to be like God? All-knowing? Is that a bad thing? Could be? I think that's it. I think that's exactly the problem, right? To be like God is to be in charge. To be like God is to be in charge. Right? I think that's a part of what being all-knowing is. I think, you know, it had the knowledge of good and evil. To be, you know, what are the omnis, right? Omnipresent, omniscient. Omnipotent. Thank you. They're of the omnis, right? Thank you. Right? All-knowing, all-powerful, always present. Right? To be like God is to be all those things. It means that I'm in charge. I'm in control. And I think that is the heart of human sin. I think that is, for me, the definition of original sin. We are all cursed. And I think this is true. We are all cursed with some need to be in charge. To be in control. Let's see if anybody wants to disagree with me on that. More or less, to some degree, we all want to be in charge. It's all about me. Original sin for me is selfishness. It's to be about me. It's to have it my way. And here's where somebody breaks into the Burger King song, right? No? All right. But that's what it's about. I want it my way. And that's original sin. That's the sin that we are cursed with. And it is that desire that the tempter entices Adam and Eve to eat of the fruit of tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you do this, you'll be like God. If you do this, you'll be in charge. Now let's kind of flash forward to the gospel reading. Jesus is baptized. That's what comes right before this passage. Right? I mean, as we go through the church here, this is one of the problems with doing the lectionary cycle. Right? Okay? Right before the temptation is Jesus' baptism. Well, we heard the story of Jesus' baptism, I think it's 8 weeks ago now. Right? And so, and then we have all these other passages, and then we come back to what happens right after Jesus' baptism. So Jesus is baptized, he comes up out of the water, and there's this voice from the cloud that says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Right? Okay? And there's the dove that comes down and alights on Jesus as the Holy Spirit. Right? Okay? From that, we then turn to, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So Jesus is baptized, and then the Spirit leads Jesus out into the wilderness, a dangerous place, to be tempted by the devil. Now, what's significant about the fact that this is the Spirit doing this? This is no accident. This is a part of what God intends. That Jesus is led out into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And Jesus is there 40 days and 40 nights. For Matthew, that's significant. Where else do we hear 40 days and 40 nights? Noah, right? And Noah's the one we know better. Well, that's 40 days later, right? Okay, the ascension. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, and he's up there how long? 40 days and 40 nights, right? Matthew likes to make connections between Jesus and Moses. All right? So 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus is in the wilderness, and then the tempter comes and he says to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The tempter comes and says to Jesus, "You're hungry." And it says, the translation here is, if you are the Son of God, maybe a better translation, and it could work either way from the Greek, since you are the Son of God. I don't think there's any doubt that the tempter knows who Jesus is. Since you are the Son of God, you can take those stones over there and make bread and eat, and you won't be hungry anymore. And in Matthew's gospel, it says stones and loaves, so it's multiple. Jesus doesn't need a lot of loaves. The temptation here is that Jesus can make enough bread to feed the world just by turning these stones into loaves of bread. But Jesus says, "No, I won't do it." And why not? Why not? I mean, what's written here is Jesus says, we shall live, you know, not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He quotes Scripture. But what's the heart of that Scripture passage? What's really at the core of Jesus' reason for not doing what the tempter suggests? All right. Yeah. Because he's man. Take it the next step, Donna. He's not God, right? And for Matthew tends to emphasize Jesus' humanity more than some of the other Gospels. But I think what Jesus is saying here is, I'm not God. And looking at the tempter saying, nor are you. I'm not the one in charge. You're not the one in charge. God's the one in charge. God's the one that we need to listen to and obey. It's not about me. It's about God and what God wants. All right. And temptation 2 and 3 are much the same. The same point anyway, I think. Right? The devil takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. He says, throw yourself down and because God will rescue you. You know, God will send his angels to catch you before you hit the ground. And Jesus says, no. I'm not going to do that. Why not? Because I'm not supposed to put the Lord your God to the test. I'm not God, Jesus says. You're not God. It's not about you and me. It's about God and what God wants. And that's not what God wants. And then he takes him up to the high mountain. And he has Jesus look over all the kingdoms. And Satan, the tempter, says, if you fall down and worship me, then all of this will be yours. And Jesus says, no. No, because we only worship God because God's the one in charge. Not you. Not me. We do it God's way. Jesus, in each instance, resists the temptation to put himself first, to be selfish, resists the temptation to take charge and acknowledge that it is God who is in charge. As we come into Lent, I think the reason that this story appears on the first Sunday of Lent every year is because it is a reminder for us about what it means for us to be followers of Jesus, to be Christians, to be the people of God. And first and foremost, to be the people of God means that it is God who is in charge. It is God's way that we are called on to follow. That we are called on to resist the temptation to put ourselves first. To resist the temptation to think that we're in charge. I think this story reminds us of what it means to be a Christian. I had all kinds of images going through my head as I was preparing, and maybe this will help. Our neighbor has a white lab, their dog, right? Now, technically, that breed doesn't exist. It's a yellow lab that's been bred to be white, so it's a white lab. And Ozzy is a three or four-year-old puppy. Right? I don't know that Ozzy will ever grow up. Ozzy loves to eat sticks and grass. And so I'll be out watching as the neighbor's playing with Ozzy out in the backyard, and Ozzy will run over and start to eat Terry's the dad, Julie's his wife. Julie has some nice flowers planted around the edge of the yard, and Ozzy will run over and start eating at the flowers. Couple of problems there, right? One is it destroys the flowers. The other is it makes Ozzy sick. Ozzy doesn't care. And it's so much fun to watch as Terry is out there with Ozzy. And Ozzy's running around and they're playing ball and all this other stuff. And then Ozzy looks over at the flowers in the corner of the yard. And Ozzy looks at him, and Terry says, "Ozzy, no." And Ozzy looks at Terry and looks at the flowers. And Terry says, "Ozzy, no." And Ozzy looks again at Terry. And you can almost see the grin on his face. You know, if labs could grin, right? You almost see the grin on his face because Ozzy looks at Terry and says, "I don't care what you say. I want to eat those flowers." And he goes over and eats them. Ozzy wants to believe that Ozzy's in charge. I think this passage today reminds us that we are a whole lot like Ozzy. That we like to think we're in charge. And God stands there before us and says, "No, you're not. I am." And God expects us to live the life that God has called us to live. God expects us to not eat the flowers in the corner of the yard because we're not in charge. God is. And maybe if you remember nothing else about Lent during this Lenten season, remember that. Remember, you are not in charge. God is. Amen.